From the Savage Studios, this is the Savage Empire with your host, Mike Trainer.
This is indeed the Savage Empire. I'm your host, Mike Trainer. Good to be back. Good to have you back. Yankees got Andrew Benintendi. I'm loving it. I was going to make the case for him last week before they actually traded for him. And only because of allergies, my voice sounded like shit. It was hard to hear my voice the way it sounded in the headphones, so I decided to scrap about 5 minutes into what I was recording last week. And I was actually going to kick it off, what I'm going to kick off right now. So as I try to educate myself on sabermetrics, I looked at BABIP, which basically equates to balls that are hit in play, more or less. And so as I was going through that, I found a list of players. And I ranked it according to BABIP, and this is off of Fangraphs. And Benintendi was fifth in all of baseball with a 360 BABIP, which is pretty goddamn good. As Monty just struck out a guy here in the second, so Yankees scoreless. I'm watching the game as I'm recording. So I'll definitely keep you up to date on that. By the time you hear it anyway, the game will be over, but whatever. So three people I put on the list here separated the list. Juan Soto, Benintendi, who we already have, and another player who I've been trying to get to the Bronx, and you know that, is Jock Peterson, who, according to rumors and Heyman and a bunch of other people, saying that the Giants are looking to deal, which maybe means Carlos Rodon will be back in play, who we was hoping to get in the offseason. That would have been nice. Maybe we can get a shot at him now. And if we can get him and Jock Peterson, I'm good with that. As we know, Jock is an animal in October, and he just might be the type of player we need to get us over the hump. Now, how does he fit into the plans? Well, that obviously all depends on shipping Joey Gallo out, and then we can do a rotation and just go with the hot bat. Really, I mean, there's options. And I'd rather have somebody like Jock Peterson, who's a World Series fucking stud the last couple of years, you know, with the Dodgers and the goddamn Braves last year. He's an animal. Who wouldn't want that? Plus, he plays pretty good outfield. His numbers aren't that great this year, but they're not totally horrible. And like I said, we need him for October. That's my case for him. But anyway, his BABIP is only 251. But like I said, that's the regular season. It's like Eli Manning. Eli is average in the regular season. When you get him in the playoffs, he's a goddamn killer. And that's what I want. So Juan Soto, his BABIP is actually worse than Jock Peterson's this year, which is 245. But Juan Soto is a generational stud. His numbers actually in double the appearances, just about. He has 20 home runs. Peterson has 17. That's crazy. Who would do well at Yankee Stadium anyway, by the way? Left-handed. Now, Juan Soto, I doubt, is a pipe dream at this point. I really can't see them getting him. But I'm not going to totally rule it out the table. The Yankees, you know, they might be just willing to trade the farm if they have to, you know, with a couple exceptions. And just fucking, you know, we got these guys and it's time to unload and load up and get the dynasty going. And I'm all right with it. I'm on board. I'm fine with it. I would like to see some of these guys make it, but if we have to unload to get some of these, big name players, I'm fine with it. And it's not like Soto, you know, he's 23. So he's right around that age of some of these prospects anyway. So, And we already know he's a proven player. See, that I'm okay with. Other guys, rental players, not so much. The players we gave up for Benintendi to get here was expendable. I'm not worried about it. They might end up being okay, but nothing I'm going to lose sleep over. You know, we thought Dominguez was going to get traded. He got pulled from a game. Sweeney, one of their other top shortstop prospects, they got pulled from a game a couple days ago, and then, you know, they're back in the lineup the next day. One of the other kids yesterday got pulled. I haven't heard anything yet, so I doubt anything has happened yet. But, you know, we were hoping to get Castillo, and he ended up going to Seattle the other day, which just fucking killed all of us because that was the dude we really wanted. Soto is just a cherry on top and more of a, you know, yeah, he can help us, but that's like, you know, that's a forever player type of deal where you're thinking long term. With Castillo, it's like, oh, he's ace, and we need that kid right now. And, you know, so he went to Seattle. Seattle gave up, you know, I'll give him credit. They gave up, I think, like their top three fucking prospects, more or less. I think they're definitely their top prospect. So some people say they overpaid. Some people say they're ready to make the move, and you got to do what you got to do. Yankees are usually not like that, but we shall see. The deadline's on Tuesday. And, you know, this team is, you know, good enough to get over this hump that we're in and good enough to win the division, obviously. But it comes down to being able to beat Houston. You get over that hump and then winning a ring. That's what it comes down to. Because honestly, anything less than that is just, it's not good enough anymore. And I don't understand people who are content with that. I really don't. I feel like that might be a younger generation thing who didn't really experience the team of the 90s. You know, they may have seen the one in 09 and just like, well, you know, it's hard to win. But I want to get back to those days. I want to get back to that mentality. And thought that was going to be a double up the gap, but nope. Michael Taylor flew out, flew down there and caught it. All right. No score, end of two. Casey has one hit. Yankees have nothing. Here we go again. Greinke's pitching. Anyway, so these are players that, you know, we need to do something. We need what we have right here. We have to strengthen the rotation, strengthen the bullpen. I would like to see an upgrade at shortstop either with one of the kids or, well, I doubt they're going to bring anybody in. So I'd like to see an upgrade with one of the kids. If Peraza is traded, then I you know, I was going to say have Volpe go to AAA, but at this point, I want him to come up. Fuck it, because I can't take IKF's defense. You know, and IKF, yeah, he's got a 15-game hitting streak, which is great. You know, the numbers, it's basically singles and shit, and that's fine. He, you know, I like him for what he would fit us perfectly for. Good bench guy who's really better at third than anything. And, but shortstop defensively, he's killing us. Killing us. And at this point, he's a bridge player. So he's not even supposed to be the guy. He's a placeholder. So if Peraza is not traded, I want to see him come up now. I don't even fuck it around. The kid's ready. And if he is, then I want Volpe to just bypass and fucking bring him up because I think he's ready. Or he's as close to ready as I think he is. You know, can he use some seasoning in AAA? Yeah, I think so. Get used to some better pitching, maybe. But they got to do something. And so maybe they don't trade one of the two. I doubt they're going to trade Volpe. I think that's their one untouchable prospect, I think. I don't want to assume because, you know, crazier shit can happen. But I think that's, and the way they've been, that he's pretty much untouchable. So that makes Peraza the more expendable player, so he might go. But who is out there now? So now that Castillo's gone, we turn our attention to Frankie Montas. And then last night, the rumors of Carlos Rodon being out there. So I don't want to see no fucking Syndergaard I don't want to see no Quintana. At this point, I'd rather roll what we got. Are they definite upgrades over Montgomery and Tylon? Maybe Syndergaard is, but not much more at this point. And is he trustworthy? I don't know. But, you know, it's like, I don't want just moves for the sake of making moves. You're giving up fucking prospects for guys just so it looks like you did something. And at this point, I'm like, no, fuck it. We roll what we roll with. We bring up some of the kids if we have to. We got a couple aces in the fucking AAA right now. Bring them up. Let's see what they got. If you're not going to make a move, let's see what the kids got. Because they need to do something. And youth usually injects some fucking adrenaline into a team that's slumping. I would take it right now. The Benintendi move is nice. And it's an immediate upgrade over Joey Gallo. Yeah, not for power. But it's not like Gallo was providing us with much power at all. What's he got, 10 home runs? Something like that? You know? It'll be less fucking strikeouts, that's for goddamn sure. So, it's an immediate upgrade right there. And like I said, he figures out a way to put bat on ball. And usually good things tend to happen when you do that. Monty looking sharp. He's got his pitch command going today. This is the Monty that infuriates me because on, you know, certain days like this, he looks great. And then other days, he looks like garbage. And it's like there's never any middle ground. It's either good Monty or bad Monty. And that, it just, it drives me nuts. But he's looking good so far. You know, same thing with Tyone. He either looks really good or he looks bad. And, you know, most of the time it's bad. And he'll be gone after next year anyway, so you have to replace him. I doubt anybody's going to bring him back. So that brings us back to Montas. And let's see. The Yankees have checked in on him. Heyman says that the Yankees, Cardinal, Blue Jays seem to be the top suitors for Montas. And they're focused on those three teams. So we'll see what happens. If Rodon is not available, who I'd rather have, to be honest, power lefty, throws 100 miles an hour, I'll take that all day. Looks real sharp, too. I don't know what the Yankees are going to give up. Seems like the A's want a lot. So I don't know what's worth it to the Yankees. I don't see any. So, let's see. What are they asking for? Oakland is believed to be seeking a pair of top prospects and potentially a current roster player with substantial team control remaining. It's a steep ask, to be sure, though not unrealistic one given Montas' trade value. So, always seems like the player with team control who's always good enough to be moved in rumors anyway, is Glaber. And Glaber's having a resurgence here. Now, are we confident he can keep that? Or will he regress back to the last 2 years? Will he get back to what he was like 3 years ago when he was just killing the ball? I think he's got another year of control. And then a year or two, and then they have to pay him. So by then, Oakland will figure him out, and then they'll probably look to flip him because, you know, God forbid they pay anybody. And then Glaber will be on some other team. Is that worth it? Glaber and let's say a Peraza, and they'll probably want a pitching prospect back. So one of the two guns. How's that sound? Is that enough? Is that more than enough? Is that too much? What do you think? There you go, Bendy. Nice play. So what do you think? Now, I'd rather go after Rodon and get Jock Peterson along him and then give up an extra higher prospect just to get those two. Rodon, you can, you know, I don't know what his contract is, but that's somebody you would look to keep long term anyway. Now think about this. So I'm happy either way. If you get one or the other, Montas or Rodon, you got Cole, Montez, Seve, and Nestor. Or flip those any way around, any way you want. And or Rodon included in that instead of Montez. That's four good pitchers right there. That's a good playoff rotation right there. Love it. I would love that. That is what we need. And get me another arm or two in the pen. Bring me back David Robertson. I'm just fine with that. You bring me back Robertson, I'm happy. If there's anybody else out there we can get that's, you know, pretty good, I'll let the analytics department figure out who to get because they're pretty goddamn good at getting some really good arms for nothing. So I'm happy with that. In that case, they do a real good job. So, you know, hell, Clay Holmes, right? And great news on top of that, there are teams interested in Joey Gallo. I know, right? It's hard to fucking believe. Brewers, Padres, and the Tampa Bay Rays interested in Joey Gallo. This is crazy. So, and Gallo knows that he's gone. It's just a matter of time. I almost feel like the Yankees will take anything, but according to this report, they're asking prices high. And maybe that's just the Tampa. So it says the Rays may not be too deep in the Gallo hunt, the Daily News reports. The Yankees want it too much in return. And I get it. You want to fleece your divisional rival. Sure, we'll give you a good player. Well, maybe good to you. We'll give you a player, but you're in our division. If he's going to hurt us, we're going to have to hurt you up front by taking better prospects back. So I get it. The Brewers are in on him, and the Padres. Hell, I'd ship him just to the Padres just to fucking ruin them, although that'll piss off half of Yankee Twitter anyway, so whatever. San Diego wanted him in spring training. The Brewers wanted him at the trade deadline last year when we got him, so maybe they'll be in on him this time. At this point, I'll take anything just to get him off this team. And not... You know, it's not that I hate the guy. I feel bad for him because I was actually one of the people who wanted to get him. I thought his potential and his home run swing that, you know, half his season at Yankee Stadium, he would easily hit 40 or 50 home runs for the year. And it is just been terrible pretty much from the moment we got him. And yeah, maybe he thinks that strikeouts are okay, even though he's frustrated. So how can strikeouts ever be okay if you get pissed off if you strike out? The fans don't like it. You have to do something. Get hits. I take hits. You know, doesn't always have to be a home run. Get a fucking hit and build on it. And then people will get off your back because you're doing something. You're playing. But there's just times where he doesn't do a fucking thing, and it's just, it's ridiculous. And then he strikes out just about every fucking time he's up to bat. It's horrible. And his mental health cannot be good. It has to be like a goddamn building on his shoulders, a mountain. It's just, it's too much. And he's mentally broken, and he's talking to people in the past tense like he's already gone. And that's why he's riding the bench. There's no even point in playing him anymore. He's an automatic out. And he does need a change of scenery, at least for anything, for, you know, a fucking mental break. Fall. That's going to foul. The Carpenter was going to bloop one in the left field on the shift, but it went foul. So he needs to just a new scenery. And it's like, I cheer for the players that are on my team. Of course I want them to do good. I'm hard on them. I'm fair. I think I'm fair. I don't overly criticize people that doesn't deserve it. But, you know, I'm tired of just kicking the guy while he's down because he's just been, it's too easy. And he's a beaten man and he knows it and he's done. And if the Brewers, the Padres, or Tampa wants him, I say give me what is fair. If you can get a little bit more, great. And here you go. Try to fix him. Because I don't know if he's ever going to be repaired. The league has caught up to him. He has an uppercut swing, refuses to make the adjustments at the plate, and you just keep killing him with the high fastball or go low and away, and he will chase it. He'll die for it. If you give him anything fucking middle, that's when he does good. Oh, there's a base hit for Carpenter. He's going for two. Get there. And he's in standing up. The Carpenter. The mustache. I think Yes should give me a job. Look at this guy. He's an animal. Anyway. So, it's just, if there's teams interested in him, great. And maybe you can get a bullpen arm out of it. And all you gave up was Joey Gallo for it. I'm fucking on board. Give me that move any day of the week. Let's go. Let's get it fucking done. Next. Is Soto the guy who you want to get in case Judge walks? Now, let's pull up the payroll. That's fucking, who was that? Was that IKF? Hits it right to the pitcher. Doesn't even advance the runner. Jesus Christ. Anyway, payroll. Okay, next year, Judge is a free agent. Chapman is gone. Woo! Thank God. Zach Britton is gone. That's $14 million saved right there. Boom. Severino's on the last year of his deal. Joey Gallo is gone, but hopefully gone sooner. Benintendi is a free agent. Now, depending on how he plays the rest of this year, maybe we bring him back. He's only making $8.5 million, so, you know, I'd give him 10, depending on how much he plays. So Glaber goes into arbitration 3. So he's got two more controllable years on him, which makes him appealing to Oakland if you want to move him. So he's arbitration 3, next year arbitration 4, and then free agent. Montgomery is arbitration 4 this year, so they're definitely going to keep him. Tylon's a free agent, so that's money saved because they ain't bringing him back. That's going foul. And Kiner Falefa's arbitration 3. He'll get probably a slight increase in raise. Chad Green is gone. I don't know if we want to bring him back. Castro is gone. So $4 million for Green. 2.6 for Castro. That's saved because I doubt they're bringing him back. Wandy is arbitration eligible as 4. So then he'll be a free agent. But they like Wandy, so I see him getting a raise and I'm keeping him. Matt Carpenter is obviously a free agent, but the way he's fucking finishing up this year, do you bring him back? So here's where it gets a little bit crazy. And for those who hate Domingo Herman, he is in his second year of arbitration, and then arbitration 3 next year, and then he's a free agent after that. I feel like they should try to move him. He's controllable. Maybe there's somebody out there that'll take a flyer on him. He's not worth the headache that he causes. And speaking strictly as baseball terms, as I like to do with him, because I don't like to, my personal opinion aside, if he's here, it's because the Yankees feel like they can do something with him. So I'm going along those lines, okay? Would I rather him be gone? Abso-fucking-lutely. So I don't ever want to not make that clear. I'm speaking as if I was the Yankees and the way their train of thought is, okay? So don't give me any shit. He's got two more controllable years left. He'll probably get a raise. Not much. I wouldn't give him shit. He basically barely fucking played. But anyway, he's got two more controllable years. That's probably why they'll keep him, although I hope they can move him. I would just get rid of him. Lasagna's got two more controllable years, arbitration 2 and 3, and then he's a free agent, so they'll give him a raise. Marwin's gone, so that's good. No loss there. Two more years of Clay Holmes in arbitration, which is fucking a steal. He's going to get a big raise this year. And two more years of control for Higashioka, which is like, can we just move on already? I actually wouldn't even tender him a fucking offer. I would just let him go. He's 32 years old, and he's got two more controllable years. And I know you're not paying him shit. He's making What's he making now? Almost $1 million. So he would get a raise, most likely to just over a mil, because he hasn't done much either this year. But he got better catching options in the minors. So Josh Burrow has been tearing it up. You got that fucking Schwarzenegger kid, Rovert, or whatever the fuck his name, Ben Rovert, that you got from Minnesota, who's finally starting to play games in the minors. You got fucking, what's his name? The fucking kid. Why am I drawing a blank? Austin Wells. You know, who's actually starting to move up and is playing pretty good too. So you got options. Not that Wells will be ready, but Josh Burrow looks like he'll be ready by next year. Why not? Give him a shot. I'll take anything on him. He's tearing it up. He's obviously younger and better than Higashioka. Defensively, I actually seen him play. He's not bad. So I'm on board with that. Lucas Litke has 2 more years of control left at arbitration 2 and 3. Wow, I didn't realize that. Nestor's got 3 more arbitration years left. What a fucking steal that is. He's going to make money. Michael King, same difference. Trevino also has 3 arbitration years left before he's a free agent. And I honestly think they keep him. I would like to see Trevino and one of the kids. And then if the kids can supplant him, Trevino becomes the backup as a veteran. I'm happy with that. We don't need him and fucking Higgy on the same team. We can upgrade that in the offseason right there. Boom, done. Clark Schmidt is going into his first arbitration year, and the Yankees will certainly bring him back, depending how he finishes off the year, and I think he's got value anyway. Albert Abreu has 1 more year of team control before he even gets to arbitration. So when I say arbitration, I don't mean team control. Obviously, the team doesn't have to tender you a contract, and you can be a free agent. In some cases, I hope. But arbitration means the team and you will come to an agreement most likely, because that's just how it works. You know what I mean. So Rorvit has team control next year. And then he goes into arbitration. So he'll be here regardless. That's why I think Higgy is done. I don't think they tender him a deal. So that's money saved. Marinaccio doesn't say anything with him as he, I don't know if he's team control or arbitration eligible. I don't think, well, he's not arbitration eligible. He hasn't played long enough. Excuse me. I assume he's team, I assume he's got team control. So let's see. Let's go back. So Marwin's a free agent. He'll be gone. 1.5. Carpenter, we'll see what happens with him, but let's say he's gone. So that's $3.5 million saved. And, you know, let me get the calculator out. That might be easier. And we'll see how much money is saved, because that is going to determine if the numbers will work. But it also depends on if they don't trade a lot of their kids who can make up the holes. So let's start again. All right. Unrestricted free agent, Marwin. 1.1 plus 2 for Carpenter plus 2.6 for Castro plus 4 from Chad Green plus 5.8 for Tylon. So I can't see him coming back. Let's say Benintendi is not back. I don't know how. See, that's a tough one, because we're not really paying him $8.5 million. So whatever is left of the contract for the year, but I won't even count it. We're not going to count it. But we will count Joey Gallo's 10.2. And it's off. It might be off by a few thousand, but I'm giving you a hard number. So he'll be gone. Britton's 14. Chapman's 18. And Judge is 19. I will count Judge as 19 because we'll see how much money it goes to him. So right there, the Yankees payroll will be down roughly, we'll say $77 million. That's not bad. Okay, so let's look at what kind of deal they should give Judge. All right, so let's say you pay him, let's say $40 million a year. Let's go with that. That's a nice round number. We can work with that, okay? So Yankees would have $36.7 million to play with if they sign Judge to 40, let's say $40 million a year. We're just going by next year. We're not even going through future years and teams and things like that, okay? So it's just next year, all right? So that gives them roughly $37 million, $36, you know, around there. And I'm not even counting in the minor leagues and all that other shit. Just, you know, I'm trying to keep it simple. You know, plus they'll save money from Banuelos, Ryan Weber, David McKay, Weber again, and Shane Green. So that's roughly $200,000 around there that they save, that comes off. And the kids in the minors that are under team control, who I would love to see come up next year, would just be fucking great. They'd have Volpe for next year. It would be three seasons before he even sees arbitration. Think about that. He's their number one prospect. Peraza, the same thing. Literally the same thing. Wells, the same thing. Dominguez is another 4 years before he sees arbitration. So those are the kids right there. Sweeney is 4 years before arbitration. Justin Yang, Lange, Medina, Waldenchuk, who I think is going to be a stud, who I would like to see come up 3 years before arbitration. But let's go. So, out of all of that, you can replace your backup catcher with one of the kids who's basically making nothing. And if it's Rorvet, I think he's making 700 grand right now. He's team controlled next year, so he's not making shit either. So it's somebody who's under $1 million. Let's see where Josh Breaux is. He is. I don't even have a salary listed. He's obviously making less than $700,000. Team control for another 3 years before arbitration. He is there. See, Wells is higher than him on the prospect list, but he's obviously higher up in the farm system right now, and he's tearing it up. Kid does nothing but hit, so I'd rather see him. I don't know what this Rorvet kid is going to do, and he's been hurt all year. He was supposed to be the guy. We weren't even supposed to have Trevino, but it's funny how things work out. Pitching-wise, give me King and Clark Schmidt in the bullpen next year. Abreu, I'm like hit or miss on. I think he's been pretty good since we got him back. Marinaccio's been great. Licky is, you know, it's whatever. He's been pretty good. Clay Holmes has been the man, obviously. And so all we have to do is replace fucking Chad Green, Castro. Chad Green, if they want to bring him back, depends how he pitches. But I'm kind of over him now anyway, and he makes too much money. There's better options for cheaper fucking players in the bullpen. So you replace him. You're replacing Chapman because there's no way to bring him back. Britton is no way you're bringing him back now at that money, not when him coming off of Tommy John. So there's like three or four fucking spots in the bullpen you can fucking replace by maybe a couple of your younger kids, depending how any of them. Maybe somebody you get in a trade this year, hopefully for Joey Gallo. Maybe free agents. that isn't going to cost you a whole much, and you don't have to go high end. You just need to let the analytics guys find which ones will be good enough to fucking, you know, kind of like a sneaky move that'll just be good enough to be there and it don't cost you a lot of money, because you want to put your money in the starters. And we'll go along that down the line. But getting Frankie Montas or Carlos Rodon, hell shit, I'd be fucking impressed they went and got both of them. Now think about that fucking rotation. Holy shit. And then you can put Severino in the bullpen when he comes back, and you don't have to stress out his fucking arm in innings and shit. He can go max velocity for one inning a game in the playoffs. I'd be fine with that too. These are things that are obviously not going to happen. Now, we can go another way here, and I'm going to look up the Nationals payroll right now, and I want to see what Soto makes, because I think he's under control too. So hang with me here for a second. Update. And goddamn, Strasburg's got four more years. I don't know what the rest of his contract looks like, but it only goes up to 2026. Four more years at $35 million. Oh, wow. Corbin is expensive. I can see why they want to get him. So, Juan Soto makes $17 million next year. He's arbitration eligible. So, let's say he'll get a raise to around $20 to $22 million, we'll say. Something like that. I don't think any more. But you never know. It's about the numbers getting fucking thrown around. So we'll see what it is. So let's say we get him. We have him for another year. So it'll be 2 years at arbitration eligible. And then a restricted, unrestricted free agent. So let me see. Minus out of the $37 million, basically, we'll minus 20. Let's go 23, just to round that off. That leaves us with $13.7 million. Now, where are we on the luxury tax? So let's go back to the Yankees. And let's see. Let's go update. Look at, I'll find the luxury tax in a minute. Payroll table. And this is Spot Track. That's the one I like to use. It breaks pretty much everything down. This is where I found out that we were paying fucking Ellsbury $5 million last year when everybody thought he was free and clear. So we are currently at... Where is it? Active payroll. So we're basically at $252 million right now, which is just $2 million. So we would actually be under the luxury tax, right? No. I'm sorry. The tax threshold is $230 now. So let's see, we'll do 251, basic math, right? So it's 251 minus 70. Let's go back to where we were. Two fifty-two minus 72, something like that. We'll put that down. That brings us to 180. We'll say plus 40 for Judge, plus 181, plus 40, plus 24. We'll go up to 24 just to give you a round number. That puts us at 245. So Judge and Soto next year put us over the luxury tax. Not by much. Plus, you have to fill in other areas. That's two players. So do you people really think that we are going to sign Judge long-term and then bring in Soto, have to give him a raise next year to be around $20 million, and then be able to field the rest of the needs on this team while not going over the cap, which this already puts you over the cap, since the threshold is at 230. So when you add the numbers, people, that's where you're at. Because there's other things involved. There's minor league players that have to be in. There's arbitration, bonus pool contributions that have to be put in. Player benefits have to be added in. So the payroll, it's the payroll plus all that shit. You add that up, and that's where you go. That's how everything is done. And we don't ever really think about that. So that's why I don't think Soto is coming. I'd be shocked. I think if they get Soto, I think that's the end of Judge. And if you'd asked me that at the beginning of the year, as big as Judge fan I am, I would have been like, obviously you take Soto, who's younger. He's a generational talent. Yeah, he's cocky and shit, but that's baseball now, Susan. So you deal with it. And it's fine. He's already won a ring, so he does good in the playoffs. We know that. And you deal with it. Judge, who's 31 years old, you know, seeking a long-term deal. But he's having such a fucking year right now where how do you not pay him? And even I was, you know, I'm starting to come around where it's fucking pay him. You got to pay him now. You know? And what do you do? What do you do? I think Cashman is just waiting around to see what kind of deal somebody's going to offer for Soto. Maybe he tops it. Oof. Double play. Oh, no. Rizzo hit the ball to the third baseman on the shift, playing short. Got Judge out at first, and the throw to first. First baseman dropped the ball. Rizzo safe. So that looked like a surefire double play. But no, apparently the guy at first can't catch. So, I mean, shit, hit him right in the fucking glove, for Christ's sakes. No pick, no nothing. Right in the, oh my God, right in the heel of the glove. How do you lose that? Jesus Christ. I mean, shit. I could make that fucking play. Anyway. You know, you have Ridings back next year. Forgot about him. He's hurt. He's got arbitration years too. So that kid's a firearm. So maybe he takes one of the spots in the bullpen next year. But there's options. I mean, obviously they're going to field a team. But this is where if you're going for someone like Soto and you're going to pay Judge all that money, you have to balance it out on the other positions with prospects. The kids that you deem untouchable, this is where they come up, and this is where they fill the gaps. We have a huge gap at short. Unfortunately, next year we still have Donaldson at around $25 million, who I would love to get rid of. Yeah, $25 million next year. That's ridiculous. But that's the price you have to pay for getting rid of Sanchez and not having to pay him. What do we do? Is it worth trying to sign Judge long term? Is it worth trying to trade for Soto and keep both? Or is it worth getting Soto, who you can immediately give a 10-year deal to at like $500 million, because he's going to be that guy, folks. Don't kid yourself. If he gets anything less than $50 million, I'm not saying it's a steal, but in the baseball market, that's a steal. Because he is going to be the first $50 million guy. Or damn close to it. Excuse me again. That's what's going to come down to. So you need to realize that. He's still in arbitration years. He's going to get over $20 million this year. If he has a great year for next year, I mean, and then the following season, he might get up to $30 million before he's free agent. So you don't think he's going to be the first guy to get to 50? Because fucking Acuna got paid. Tatis got paid. And he's the one left standing who's still under his contract, his fucking rookie deal. He's going to get paid, folks. Do you want it to be from us? Because I'm telling you right now, it will cost you, Judge. There's no way in hell they're keeping them. And you're thinking, oh, we got them for 2 years before they have to make that decision. Okay. Let's play by that logic. They pay him 20-something million next year. It gets raised to, at best, $30 million the following season. You're paying Judge easily $40 million a year. The year he's having right now, how can he take anything less than that? So that's $70 million by the time Soto is an unrestricted free agent. He's going to look at Judge and say, I'm better than him. He makes $40 million. I want $50 million easily. And he will get it. If not from us, Uncle Steve surely will. I'm sure other teams in baseball would love to get a kid who by the time he's unrestricted free agent will be 25 years old. That's a guy you give a 10-year deal to get him to 35. And then whatever happens after that, that's 10 years down the line. How many years and how much money are you willing to give Judge to justify keeping both of them? I mean, I don't have answers for that, but if they can do it, I'm on board. But you have to keep some of the prospects. Unless you want to raise this payroll to $300 million or more, $350 million, and just fucking fuck the luxury tax. I'll pay the fine every year, and we just fucking, we sign who we sign, and we go for it. I know a lot of people would be all about that, but you know, Hal Steinbrenner is not going for it. And this is why, I can't argue with people on Twitter because they think I'm wrong. But I'm looking at numbers, people. And what do I always tell you? I look down the line. It's not about next year. It's about the year after. It's about 2 years after that. You have to look at the contracts. Who's going? Who's staying? Who's getting a raise? It all adds up. There's a bottom line for this team, for most teams in baseball. And would they love to keep everybody? You bet they would. But they're not going to do that. So take your pick. Because I really doubt it's going to be Judge or Soto or both. It's going to be one or the other. And by Tuesday, we'll have an answer, if not sooner. And if he's a Yankee and they traded good prospects to get him, because it's going to take good prospects to get him, great prospects to get him. It's going to be probably two out of the three names. Most likely a Peraza and a Dominguez and somebody else to get him. Which is fine. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Which is fine. But it's also going to cost us Judge, who's going to go in the free agency regardless, because the Yankees haven't even signed him yet. Maybe Soto is the backup plan. Everybody, after every game, is pretty much, you know, when Judge does great, it's give this man a blank check. Well, they're not going to give him a blank check. And yeah, I go back and forth on it. I want him re-signed. I don't want him to leave. He means too much to this team in terms of he's the best player on this team by far, by a mile. He's the leader of this team, unquestionably. And he's great for the city. He's an icon in baseball already. which means he makes fucking Donaldson. It's another guy we got to get rid of. It's garbage. Anyway, his value is more than the money you're paying him. Because they make money off of him with merchandise, commercials. You know, he enhances the Yankee brand, thus selling more Yankee products, thus putting more money in Hal's pocket that doesn't have to go into the team. We all know this. He fills seats in the stadium. People come to see him. Even casuals come to see him because he's somebody to see, which is great for business. And he will be rewarded for it. But I'm telling you, there's a line. And, you know, if George was alive, they probably blow past the line because he was a big believer in taking whatever money he made from the team and putting it back into the team, which made him more money. Hal is all about, well, this is the line, and we can build a competitive team up to that line, if not better. And if we need to go over the line at times, we can, but we have to get back under the line so we don't always have to pay every year because it goes up every year. I'm not telling you people nothing you don't know. I'm telling a lot of people who choose to forget those things who just like, well, he's rich. He can afford it. And I get that. You understand. You're right. You're right. He can definitely afford to do it. And I don't like fucking reaching into people's pockets either. And I'm not holding the water for a billionaire. He can absolutely pay it. And if he did, I'd be just fine. I ain't going to lose sleep over it. It's not my money. But you have to remember who we're talking about. Hal has never really shown, with very few exceptions, that he's willing to do that. They traded to get Stanton's contract, which looks reasonable these days compared to other ones. And Cole is really the big fucking contract that, and I honestly believe that was just Cashman basically pulling out all the stops to get him. This is the guy I have to get, and just doing a hell of a sell job on Hal to get him. But how many of those does Cashman have left? And then the rest is just the computer nerds are trying to figure out who to get, and Hal is, and Cashman's trying to figure out who I can get at the best value, which is fine. That's the way his job should be. You shouldn't have a superstar at every fucking position, even though we would want that. You need guys who are affordable, who you're getting more value than pay for. That's how you build a team. That's how Hal and Cash would like to build a team. And that's how they think they built the team this year, by getting someone like an IKF. You took a shot on Donaldson, but that's really, you know, to get rid of one bad player, take another bad player. You deal with it for 2 years and he's gone. I like to see him gone a lot sooner, but it is what it is. But that's it. That's where we're at. And I feel like people needed to hear that. And I wanted to talk about that last week when the Soto rumors were really heating up. And don't get me wrong. I would love to have him on this team. Excuse me. Sorry. Still a little sick. But can we realistically keep both of them, Soto and Judge? And that would be awesome if we could. But can we keep them both? And I think most of you people out there think the answer is no. And I think so too. Now it's up to Cashman to prove us wrong. There's holes right now, and not even including Soto. Just take that off the table, because that's not a need. That's more of a want. Do we need Soto? We don't need him. We really don't need him for this team right now as built. We don't need him right now. Do we want him? Absolutely want him. Absolutely. He's a future, he's a generational player, and he's built for the future of this team. Absolutely would want that. But that's a luxury right now. What we need? We need one starter, two starters at best. One starter at best, two we need. Because I don't trust Monty, I don't trust Tyler. Not that we're really going to see them in the playoffs once, you know, once we make a trade, if we get the right people. Those two become expendable, in my opinion. I don't care. And that's just the way it is. We need bullpen. We need another arm because I still don't trust Chapman, although he's starting to pitch better. I still don't trust him. I don't trust him in a big spot. And Michael King went down. That's a blow. That's a huge blow. Clark Schmidt, I think, can replace that. Hopefully. At least almost as good as King has been this year. Still would want another arm or two. Definitely one. And we need to figure out shortstop. Because I'd rather have IKF on the bench for speed. And those extra inning bullshit rules. Or a pinch hitter when you need him because he's a contact guy. And you need a base hit. That's where he comes in handy. I'm sorry, folks. I really do apologize for my voice this week. But I wanted to get it recorded. Bear with me, we're almost done. So, I'd rather see Peraza up, Volpe up, Sweeney up. I don't care who it is. Whoever doesn't get traded, I want to see them replace IKF. I think it's time. It's time. I think with Peraza, if we don't move him, he's definitely ready. He's ready. So how much more can he do in AAA that we haven't seen by now? He's ready. And that kid will light a fucking spark under this team because that's what the youth does when they come up and they play. He will play good. I have faith in that. So, bottom line is, folks, there's a lot of moves to be made before Tuesday. This team is going to look different one way or another. Joey Gallo will be gone. I think we're going to have a Montes or a Rodon and maybe a Jock Peterson too. Which I would love. That's who I prefer to have. I don't want Syndergaard. I don't need Thor. Although I wanted him at the beginning of the year. I have not been impressed with him during the year. He's done okay. He's all right. He's not somebody I think puts us over the top. I don't want a Quintana. I don't need an innings eater to save the bullpen. I want somebody who's going to be great for the playoffs. Not somebody who's going to help us get to the playoffs by saving the bullpen. And that's good to have, but only if you don't have to give up shit for somebody like that. If you got to give up a top prospect for somebody who can just eat innings, I'm good. Good, bro. I'm all right with that. We're good. You can stretch Clark Schmidt out. He can be the middle guy. He can pitch 2 to 3 innings. Looks like Monty's done already. Nope. 2 minutes on the fifth. Nope. Blake's going out there to fucking straighten him out. I mean, come on, Monty. Here we go again. Looked pretty good early on, and now he's getting all wild and shit. It's fucking frustrating. Well, anyway, we'll figure out the end of the game by watching it. You'll know while you're listening to this podcast what happened. So we'll leave it there. So just think this team is either going to be better or pretty much the same by next Tuesday. All right, that's the deadline. We'll find out next week, and we will certainly talk about it. If anything huge happens, then I'll record during the week, and we'll talk about it then just to get it out there. All right, thanks for hanging with me for an hour. You guys have a great week. Stay safe. Have fun. Make sure you subscribe, follow, listen, rate, review. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies. Scream it from the rooftops. Enjoy your week, everybody. And of course, go Yankees.
Thanks for listening to The Savage Empire. Subscribe and leave a comment wherever you listen. Follow us on Twitter @Savage Empire Pod. And of course, go Yankees.